That's what I'm looking forward to seeing when I see my dad. I mean, his body's already returned to the elements. But that was just a temporary container that held my dad. And now that now when I get to see him next time, he's beyond the reach of change and decay. And the whole life that I will be experiencing is unfading in its quality, in its beauty, never diminishing. Man, I love that. And that's being guarded by God Himself. Firmly held, carefully watched. And I am being kept by God Himself. Simply by His power. All the God power that it takes to hold the universe together is the God power that's keeping me. And it comes through my trusting and clinging to, relying upon Him. Just that one little shift of it being God's grip on me that's going to be get me there, not my grip on Him. It's not my power and my faith. It's His power and my trusting in that. What does that look like? And I'm not going to give you the whole study from Andrew Murray, but I love the description of what faith is because it's so different than what the church that I had been raised in. Faith was all about that was some power that you exert. But the real bottom line of faith in God, trusting and clinging to and relying upon God, is helplessness on my part. The real quality of completely trusting and relying on God is that I don't trust in me. It's not self-effort. That's the exact opposite of faith, is self-effort and self-confidence. And another quality of pistis, faith, is rest. What if, Hannah Whitehall Smith said this, and I love this example, what if every time you went to lay down, you started being filled with doubt that the molecules in your bed were going to disintegrate at any given moment? Would you be able to sleep? No. You'd just be on pins and needles thinking, when's it going to fall? When's it going to fall? But do you ever give it a moment's thought? Well, you know, if you've ever plopped yourself down on a bed and the mattress did cave in, well, then you probably would give it a second thought. But most of the time, we don't. We just fling ourselves out there. We expect. There's a word for that. Faith. I trust it so much that I rest. Faith is rest. Faith is helplessness. Either voluntary or involuntary, but it still amounts to the same thing. Dependence. God says that'll work. You believe my promises. You leave it all in my power. And I'll get you home, just like I said He would. In the verse 6, which we'll pick up next time, says, in this you greatly rejoice, though you are temporarily harassed for a while by trials. But in this you greatly rejoice. In what? Well, in the fact that you have living hope. Nothing can kill the hope that we have because our hope is in Jesus, and they already tried that, and it didn't work. He conquered death and hell and the grave, so our hope's living. And also the fact that God's keeping us. And that's what I rejoice in, no matter what the temporary harassment of this world. And then he talks about the same thing that James does. We'll look at it next week, about the purpose of why the trials are even there. And he says the same thing that James says. I'll pass on to you what Dr. Larry Crabb said about trials as well, just as a little hors d'oeuvre for next week. When he said, without trials, only spoiled brats would enter heaven. and that would turn heaven into hell, and we wouldn't want to be there. So one of the good things that trials do is they prevent us from being spoiled brats, and they work all kinds of good things that we're going to benefit from later, just like James says. I don't feel done, but that's as much as I can squeeze, I think, out of those few verses. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for how thrilling of a truth this has been in my life, and I pray, Lord, that if I have obscured it, and I know I've understated it, it's impossible to overstate it. But Lord, I pray that these things that we need to know, that you had preserved for us, these things that are liberating words for Peter himself, that gave him a reason to go on and gave him a reason to lay his life down the rest of his life with joy, that those would be words that keep us as well, guard us from our accuser. Lord, thank you for what's waiting for us. I can't wrap my brain around it. I look at this brief description and smoke starts coming off of the hard drive in my brain. What is waiting for me? Lord, I do thank you for what I have now. I have you. I have the very essence and quality of my inheritance when I have you in me. But that's only the deposit of what I get in full later. So Lord, as these bodies wear out, as our lives change, as earthly hopes diminish, earthly beauties fade, how grateful we are that we have something entirely different ahead for us. Lord, I pray that while we are here, while we are living these lives, that we would benefit from whatever you bring along to mold us into the people that can fully benefit from the life waiting for us. Make us like Jesus, Lord. I thank you for everything that stretched me beyond my comfort zone, stuff I wouldn't have volunteered for, even though I know I need it. Part of your keeping. You want me to be the kind of son that's going to fully benefit in every way from what you have prepared for me as my inheritance. And that's why you work hard on me, so I won't miss one drop of blessing that awaits me. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you would write this stuff in our hearts and remind us when we forget. Keep, Lord, in our minds, front of our minds, that we're being kept by an almighty power, the most loving heart in the universe. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen.